Hey, this is Adam Penapinto. I'm the pastor here at Hope Covenant Church, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us today. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a part of our Hope Covenant Church family, we would love to connect with you via social media on all social media outlets or on our website, hopecovenant.cc. I hope this word encourages, inspires, and challenges you in your daily walk with God as we dig deeper into His Word. Let's jump right into today's message. Today, I want to give you 5 points. We did 2 last week regarding a critical spirit, going from being critical to the transformation process of being compassionate. I had somebody last week say, you know, Pastor, that's good. It wasn't somebody in this church. It was somebody that sent a message to me. They were like, you know, it seems really basic. I was like, is that a criticism? It is basic, but how many of you know that we don't often live by this? How many of you have caught yourself being critical before? I mean, my God, I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. Your flesh can get in the way. This is all about learning. It's a daily process, this transformation thing. It's a day-by-day process. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens with diligence, and He rewards those that seek Him with diligence. But the first one that we talked about was, what is a critical spirit? And it's really an attitude of continual fault-finding and negativity and judgment towards others, often without love or a solution, is what we talked about. And we talked about that it stems from pride, insecurity, and legalism. Then 2, the damage that a critical spirit causes, and we talked about it being relational, that it can divide families and friendships and marriages and churches corporately. It can create spiritual damage. It blinds us to our own need for grace. Personal damage, it robs us of peace and joy. And if you've ever caught yourself constantly criticizing, you'll catch yourself getting negative and then all of a sudden going, why do I feel down? It's the confession. How many of you know the confession of our mouth is so key?
Yes, it is.
There is power of life and death in the tongue, and it's important that we really guard our mouth, put a watch over our mouth.
Yes, amen.
We can become cynical. I say this, being skeptical is okay. Looking and going, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. But when you get cynical, now you've got a negative, it's the glass half empty sort of a mindset, if you've ever heard of that. Do you see the glass is half full or is it half empty?
Yeah.
Liz and I have been correcting each other on this. We've been kind of nudging each other, giving each other the little elbow or the little kick under the table, sort of a, hey, you know, let's watch the confession of our mouth. Let's watch what we're saying. We are keeping each other accountable. It's important that you have accountability in your life.
Amen.
To overcome a critical spirit. So we talked about the damage that a critical spirit causes. And then today, this is the new one. I want to talk about the root of a critical spirit. And I really pray that this ministers to you, because we have all been through life, circumstances that have been negative, that have been hard, that have been difficult. Sometimes it's not our fault. It happens to us, and we've been a victim in certain things. But I want to encourage you with this. A critical spirit it's often rooted in hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, or perfectionism. That'll speak right there. I want to break that down a little bit. I want to spend time on that. A critical spirit, it's often rooted in hurt. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody. Maybe you've had a negative confession. Maybe you've been let down by somebody, that you had high expectations. Remember this, that the grace you afford others is the grace that you'll receive. All, everybody say all, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're all not perfect. Bitterness. What is bitterness? It's undealt with hurt. It's when you get hurt and you don't deal with it. It deals with you now.
Yeah.
It starts to control how you feel and your mindset, because you're not walking in authority or by the Spirit. And that is the brass tacks of that, by the way. Unforgiveness. It's so important to walk daily in forgiving. And listen, I've forgiven the same person 100 times. How many of you have ever been there before? It's like, oh, I forgive you. And you think about another circumstance and another circumstance, and you just have to keep forgiving until you go, oh my goodness, my heart is pure.
Yeah.
Now I start praying for the person that was a hater at one point.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still a hater. Doesn't matter. perfectionism, this one I want to camp out on for a minute. Perfectionism. How can perfectionism create a critical spirit? I'm a musician. The band knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's very difficult for me to walk into a church and just enjoy the worship experience. Because I work, it would be like, for example, if you were a cook and you cook, let's say you cook Italian food, for example, just saying, you know, like one of the best food groups in the world. Just saying. I have no bias in that whatsoever with a last name like Penapinto. And you know what Italian food could taste like. You know its potential. But you don't experience that, and maybe you've eaten at an Olive Garden or a Carrabba's. And, you know, whatever. The breadsticks at Olive Garden, I'll give them that. I'll give them a pass. But you know great Italian, and you know good Italian. When we walk into churches as a band and we listen to worship, I have to literally go, do not focus or obsess about the sound experience. Let it go and remember you're here to bring a sacrifice of worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But my perfectionism, my flesh, starts to kick in. I've told you before that perfectionism is a disease. Excellence is godly. But perfectionism is a disease. I walk through this church every Saturday. I see every crooked cable that has not been rolled up correctly. I see all of these things, and I've had to go, you know what? Let it go, let it go. What does it change? How many of you know there's no soul ever didn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of a crooked cable ever?
Right.
Or you're worshiping and you're thinking it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too loud, it's not loud enough. I don't like the worship leader's skinny jeans, the preacher's skinny jeans, all of that. You know, and this church is a 2-for-1. So, you know, usually the worship leader and the preacher are wearing the same thing. You go, I don't, you go to discipleship class and you go, okay, well, this guy is really, really educated. I don't know that I could achieve his level. Yeah, what do I do? I don't know that I could ever add up to this. And all of a sudden you start to get critical. I've sat there in worship services and literally criticized, but the spirit of worship was awesome, and I totally missed it. I'm talking about myself here. Or you're at a restaurant, and you're so focused on the food experience, you forget about the fellowship. I don't restaurant for the food anymore. I restaurant for the experience with people.
Yeah.
And when the food's good, I go, amen.
Right.
I do love the food when it's good. But I've had to change my priorities. Are you looking at your priorities? Are you looking at your expectations? Are you such a perfectionist? You want things to be perfect all the time that it's making you restless. That's ungodly. You need deliverance, ma'am and sir. You go, how do you know? Because I've needed deliverance. I'm still receiving it on a regular basis. I say, Lord, deliver me from this. You know, deliverance doesn't have to be weird. In fact, it's not weird. It's very, very wonderful. It's freedom. You get freed of something that holds you bound. That's deliverance. Don't make it more complicated than that. You go, oh, you mean it's not a demon foaming at the mouth? No. Listen, I've seen that happen too, but that's not, I mean, in my case with perfectionism, I've almost been there. I'm joking. But deliverance is not, it's not weird. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like repentance. It might seem painful, but it's actually wonderful.
Yes,
when you experience the freedom.
Yes,
when we constantly criticize others, it often reveals unrest in our own soul.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that again. When we constantly criticize others, it often reveals, I'll say mostly reveals, unrest in our own souls.
Yes. Yes,
yes. It's like the people that present themselves as confident, that many times are very insecure. And their confidence is an overreach to hide or deflect from the insecurity. Anybody ever met anybody like that?
Yes.
But when you meet somebody like that, do you get critical or do you get compassionate and go, oh, Lord, they're hurting. They're hurting. I know a pastor that passed away that had some issues, and the response from some people that knew him was, he's whole now. That's godly. That's godly. We don't need to be critical. You go, well, what they did, you know what? That's not your responsibility. That's between them and God. Let it go. Take authority over having to sit in the driver's seat of what somebody else did. You're not in the driver's seat. You're not the judge.
That's right.
You have one job, love well.
Yep.
And the church has lost this practice. The church has gotten really critical. The church has gotten competitive. We're not going to do that here. We're going to bless other churches. We're going to pray for other churches. Well, but, no, there's no buts. That's period, end of story. Well, they, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Keep your eyes focused.
Right.
Take the log out of my own eye,
mm-hmm.
not the splinter out of somebody else's.
Right.
Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil things stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whew. So this message really means check your heart. I'm going to read this out of the New Living. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. We need to ask ourselves, what is unresolved in me? Am I extending the grace that I've received by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Yes, Lord.
You go, but they did. Oh, no, it does not matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. We're not going to return evil for evil.
Right.
I want to return love.
That's right.
And do you know that that very thing can bring transformation to the person who wronged you?
Yeah.
I want to transform and actually be a leader to those that have wronged me. By exemplifying the godly character
yes.
that I know is written in the Word of God. Can I get an amen by anybody who's awake?
Yes. Yes.
Everybody said?
Amen.
Awesome. You guys are awake. Love it. Now, how to break free of a critical spirit, how to get freedom. Number one, you got to recognize it.
Yeah.
It's hard to get free of something you don't think is operating. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you patterns of criticism in your thoughts, your speech, and your relationships. By the way, you need to grab it while it's a thought.
Yes, that's good.
It's like when you scroll through Instagram and you see pornography, do you camp out on it or do you keep scrolling?
Right.
You know,
right.
Click not interested on the three dots that are there.
Right.
You go, pornography on Instagram? Oh, it's there.
Yep.
It's there. So number one, you got to recognize it. Number two, you got to repent and surrender. Repent for judging others. Ask God to renew your mind. How does renewal of the mind happen? It happens when you get into the presence of God and you say, Lord, I have some stinking thinking that I need fixed. This is not good. I'm not celebrating these thoughts. They don't make me feel wonderful. I need you to come in and transform this and change these thoughts. So when it's a thought, the thought is not a sin. You just go, I will repent, Lord. Help me to rid myself of these thoughts. I declare that I have the mind of Christ. You start declaring scripture. You get into the Spirit of God. It will change your thoughts.
Absolutely.
Repent and surrender. Repent for judging others. Ask God to renew your mind. Galatians 6:1, Paul said, restore others in a spirit of gentleness, not criticism. Can I tell you right now, I do not like when people start beating people up for things that they've done that have been wrong.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's not godly.
No, it's not.
By the way, shaming people is not godly.
Right.
It's not godly. I want my life to be a life of not shaming, but getting the shame off of people.
Yes.
Because if they could walk confidently in the presence of God, man, they could be a game and a world changer. Out of the New Living Translation, dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul. Same verse we just read. If another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently, everybody say gently.
Gently.
And humbly, everybody say humbly.
Humbly.
It's not your, well, look at them. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe. Can you believe? Here's my favorite one. I'm an intercessor. Would you pray with me? This person, would you believe the sin in there? You are gossiping. You are not an intercessor.
Yes, correct.
You are now in sin.
Yes.
You could say, I'm aware of an issue and I want to pray and leave it nebulous.
Right.
But the minute you start targeting somebody, you go, well, you know, it's just, are you excited about the information you're disseminating that they didn't need to know about that person? If I've given this analogy before, and I think it's important to give it right now, that if I were to spill paint, a little gallon paint bucket right here, and you see paint, would you take the, go? You know what, it already spilled, let's just pour the whole thing out. Or would you help me clean it up? As the church, we often take the paint bucket and go, you know what, why not just totally ruin their life? Why not just, no, love covers. Last I checked, the church hasn't gotten this right. We got work to do. Number one was recognize it. Number two was repent and surrender. Number three, receive God's grace. The more you're aware of how much grace you need, the more you'll extend it to others. Every morning, I try to look at things in my life. Now, I'm not thinking about your life, and that's a good thing. I'm not thinking about what's wrong in your life. I don't wake up and go, Lord, just fix Brennan. He really needs you. I've never done it before. I prayed, Lord, extend your grace towards Brennan before. That's different. But I look and I go, Father, here am I. Do a transformation process in my thinking. Do a transformation process. Help me with my speech today, Lord. Help me with my thoughts today, Lord. Help me with my actions. So receive God's grace. Number four, replace critical words with life-giving words. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. In the NIV, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk. I love that word, unwholesome. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen. Oh, man. I'm actually next week doing a message called Be an Encourager. And I want to talk about how spiritual it is and how godly, and we're actually commanded to encourage others. Are you somebody that is life-giving, that when you're around a company of people, they feel affirmed and loved? I'm not talking about affirming sin. I'm talking about the person. You can get into the presence of somebody who is in massive sin and still be an encourager. Did you know that? Yes. And I'll leave it there because I think I'm supposed to. But let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Number five, practice encouragement daily. Encourage a few people each day for a week and watch how your heart changes. Watch how your heart changes. I had somebody that was recently in my life that was just really extra grace required. I call them EGR. They would rub me the wrong way in a split second when I was... Anybody know anybody like that? I know y'all know, don't deal with that. It's just me. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, go encourage that person. Say something nice to them. I so broke down the wall and actually realized that this person had a lot of giftings and talents and just amazing things that needed to be unlocked. But they'd been pounded on and criticized. And for so long, that whole sandpapery type of rough nature that was in this person was because they've never experienced the love of God. And that is what we are called to display. One job, love well. Number five, what if Jesus had a critical spirit? Whew. Jesus saw my flaws, he saw your flaws, but chose compassion over criticism, grace over judgment. Jesus did that for me. Jesus did that for you. What did Jesus do when he saw the woman caught in adultery? He said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. He could have, but he didn't. He could have. We need to be more like Jesus. Like, hey, do you know that when you repent, that you are washed of this sin? Could you imagine if we just made that our practice this week to say that to everybody that we knew? Could you imagine the responsibility that we would then have for souls that would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus? Because people love when they know how to get out of the trap of sin and shame and addiction and things that they're caught up in. It's an amazing feeling, and we could be used as change agents.
Yes, Lord.
But we've got to change the critical spirit to compassionate heart. We've got to see that changed. So I want to encourage you today with these four things. Number one is to examine yourself. Lord, is there a critical spirit in me? Number two, pray. Pray for humility, that God would break a spirit of pride. Healing in the heart of Jesus. Pray. You could literally ask God, Lord, give me your heart. Number three, do I need to forgive someone that I've been critical towards? Think about it. We all can think about somebody. And then number four, where do I need to trade a judgmental lens for the eyes of grace? I'm praying for every person in here that you would begin to see through the lenses of grace and compassion. Because at the end of the day, we're all dealing with something that we need to lay down at the foot of Jesus and see washed in our own lives. If we would focus and let our obsession be with getting the sin out of our own lives instead of being critical towards others, we would gain a heart of compassion towards others. They go hand in hand. So this morning, I want to ask you, have you been hurt that it's made you critical? Have you been in unforgiveness? Have you released things that have attached tentacles to your heart and literally begin to control how you feel? Well, you feel, you know it when you feel, you feel yucky when you even think about a person's name. I've gone through names of people that have offended me in the past and gone, okay, Lord, I know I'm healed when it doesn't hurt anymore. Go down the list in your mind. You'll know. You'll go, oh, that's a hot spot. And it's between you and Jesus. If you need to get some accountability and share it with somebody and ask them, somebody you trust that will pray with you and be compassionate in this area, you can go ahead and do that. But oftentimes, it's just a matter of, Lord, I thank you. Let me see them with eyes of grace. I need the lens of grace. Let me be compassionate towards that person. I can think of some people that I know that I know they're struggling on the inside with insecurity. And the minute that the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about those things, it wasn't so I can criticize them. It was so I can get compassionate towards them. Are you asking the Holy Spirit to deal with you on these areas? Because it'll shift your whole ministry. What you'll do for the kingdom of God, it's incredible. Every person that calls themselves a follower of Jesus needs to become more like Jesus, which means you become compassionate and the critical fades. And it's not an instant process. Lordship. I do what you tell me to, Lord. I yes, sir, here am I. That's a process. It's not an instant thing because it's a dying to flesh and living for him. So let's stand to our feet. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to think of somebody that's hurt you, somebody that's violated you, somebody that maybe you're just annoyed with all the time. I want you to take your hand and put it over your heart. I want you to grab that critical, and I want you to place it at the feet of Jesus. Just do this. Just go like this. Take your heart and just place it at the feet of Jesus. And you're releasing that and you're giving that to the Lord. You go, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. It's something that we're doing. It's symbolic. It's literally, we are taking this critical and we're laying it down. And Lord, we thank you for your compassionate nature that would become our nature. Let us see folks like you see them. The lens of grace, the lens of grace. Father, we repent. Say this out loud. I repent for being critical. I repent for my speech. Lord, let those fiery darts become an attitude of gratitude and compassionate.
And compassion.
I repent.
I repent.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that simple. We need to love well. Amen.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm going to love well this week. Look at the person that was your second choice and say, I didn't leave you out, you too. It's amazing what can happen. Guys, you know, many times we want revival. We got to work on these things. We got to work on these things. I've seen revival before, and then 2 weeks later, there's no fruit of the Spirit involved. Listen, revival is a transformation. It's a transformation. That's what revival is. How many of you know we can tap into revival just by being willing to be transformed?
Yes, we can.
Lord, we're willing.
Yeah.
We're willing. We're willing.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you, God. Lord, let this be the best week ever. I thank you, God, for every person here that they would be encouraged and that they would be compassionate this week. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen.
Amen.
You guys are dismissed. Come next week. Bring some people. It's going to be good. I love you. Be encouraging this week. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it and share it on social media or jump onto our website, hopecovenant.cc, and click on our giving link and help us continue to share the message of Jesus across the world. God bless you and have an awesome week.